In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hosanna. It's a word we shouted together a few minutes ago, and it's a word we sing together every week. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But what does it mean? Many of us assume Hosanna is like hallelujah, that it's a word of praise and adoration, glorifying God for his power and majesty. Hallelujah, Hosanna. But Hosanna isn't a word of praise, it's a word of petition. Hosanna is a cry for help. It's a combination of three Hebrew words found in Psalm 118, verse 25, which reads, "Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success." Hosanna, God, save us now. As the men, women, and children gathered together at the gates of Jerusalem to welcome Jesus into the city, his city, all they could think about was Psalm 118, verse 25. God, save us now. And as they cried Hosanna, all of them had something very specific and very unique in their minds. Some of them were crying out to be saved from sin and addiction. Others were crying out to be saved from loneliness and pain. Some were crying to be saved from poverty. And most of them were crying to be saved from Rome, from years and years of bad kings and bad rulers who cared nothing about them. And so what about us? When all of us gathered just a few minutes ago at the gates of our church and shouted Hosanna for all to hear, we were expressing similar levels of need and desperation and longing. We too were expressing the very specific and unique ways that we need to be saved. God, save me from my enemy. Save me from the bullies at my school. God, save my heart. Save my mind. Save my body. Save my child. Save my marriage. Save me from anxiety about the future. Save me from the guilt of that one thing I did in the past that I can never take back. Save me from continuing to hurt myself and other people. Save me from continuing to do the same things I don't want to do. Save me now. But who? Who is going to do it? Who is going to ride into the city and show up for us and fight for us? As Holy Week progresses and as our liturgy progresses this morning, it becomes clear that Jesus isn't the answer the crowds want or expect. When Pilate gives them an option to release either Jesus or Barabbas, they choose Barabbas. Why? Because in the moment, Barabbas looks like the better option. I mean, Barabbas, he's well known as a rebel, as a zealot, as an insurrectionist. He's someone who can come and fight, who can stir things up, who can drive out Rome. And in the moment, Rome feels like the crowd's biggest problem. Not sin, not addiction, not death, but Rome. As N.T. Wright has famously said, the crowds on Palm Sunday had the right story, but the wrong king. They believed all of the promises of the Old Testament, all the promises that God would send a Messiah and that he would send justice and peace and righteousness from on high. But they did not understand the means by which he would do it. And we have been making the same mistake ever since. our greatest temptation then and now is thinking that what we really need in this life is Barabbas. That what we really need is someone who can come and save us from our circumstances, whatever they are. That we just need a new ruler, someone to get rid of the bad king and replace him with the right king. Or we just need new surroundings, new place, new job, new life. We need to block out all of the toxic people in our life and only surround ourselves with good people who will fill us up. As long as we see our deepest problem as Rome, as something primarily external or sociological or horizontal, Barabbas perhaps can save us from all of these things. But the question is, who can save us from us? Who can save us from ourselves? I mean, who can get down deep into the inside and not just change our circumstances, but our hearts? In her book, Bird by Bird, the author Anne Lamott tells a true story about an 8-year-old boy who had a younger sister who was dying of leukemia. And without a blood transfusion, the girl would die. Listen to what Anne Lamott writes. The parents came to the boy and explained to him that his blood was probably compatible with his sister's, and if so, he could be the blood donor. They asked him if they could test his blood, and he said, sure. So they did, and it was a good match. Then they asked if he would give his sister a pint of blood, that it could be her only chance of living. He said he would have to think about it overnight. The next day, the boy went to his parents and said he was indeed willing to donate the blood. So they took him to the hospital, where he was put on a gurney beside his 6-year-old sister. Both of them were hooked up to IVs. A nurse withdrew a pint of blood from the boy, which was then put in the girl's IV. The boy lay on his gurney in silence while the blood dripped into his sister, until the doctor came over to see how he was doing. Then the boy opened his eyes and asked, "How soon until I start to die?" You see, the boy misunderstood. As much as he loved his little sister, he didn't know whether he wanted to offer a pint of blood because he thought that that would take his life. And so he was up all night in agony, thinking about what awaited him and whether he really wanted to do it. Holy Week tells a similar story. Like the boy, the Son of God knows that the only way we will finally be saved is through blood, through his blood. That without his blood, without someone finally getting to the inside where our biggest problems reside, we will die. The only difference is that unlike the boy in the story, the Son of God riding into Jerusalem this morning knows exactly what awaits him. And when he asks, "How soon until I die?" the answer is 1 week. Hosanna in the highest. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.